Hey, Fathom fam. Welcome to our weekly Sunday sermon podcast. We want to remind you, if you haven't yet, go ahead and download our Church Center app. We've got lots of awesome events coming up, and we don't want you to miss a thing. You can also keep tabs on us over on Instagram or YouTube, our Facebook page, and our Fathom fam Facebook group. We're going to link all those resources in the show notes, and we hope to see you there. But for now, we're going to jump right into the message.
Thank you very much, Fathom Church. It's a great joy and a privilege for my wife, Carolyn, and I to be here this morning. Thanks to Kyle for his warm words of welcome. And we are disappointed that Taryn is not here, but we got the added bonus that we meet our mum and dad today. So that's taken away a little bit of our heartbreak, but we want to say a big word of thanks to Kyle and Taryn for the privilege that it is for us to come and be here with you. As Kyle has already mentioned, we have Kenny and Jackie and the girls over as part of our church family in Northern Ireland. So it just feels like Fathom Church is part of our family. So we feel very much at home here today. It's a great joy for us to be sharing fellowship with you today. I asked Laura when I met her yesterday that she would show the video. So that gives our introduction. It saves me a little bit of time today in telling you a little bit about our work and what we do around the world. So that's our introduction. Delighted that Carolyn, my wife, is here with me. And in June, 5th of June this year, we celebrate our 42nd wedding anniversary. And we have been blessed with two children. Our son, Neil, is our pastor, and he is married with four children, three natural-born children, plus a little, their last child is adopted, little Katie, and she brings a lot of joy to our family as well. Our daughter is also four children, three boys and a girl. So I love being a granddad. It means you can mess about with their heads and then give them back to their parents. So you have all the fun, no responsibility. So if you're not a grandfather yet, it's something that you can really look forward to. As I said, Kyle has contacted me, or I contacted him, and he said that you're in this season of prayer. But God had put in my heart something concerning the Great Commission that I'd like to share with you today. So we're going to incorporate how to introduce prayer into our responsibilities within the Great Commission. The important thing is that you understand me. Is that, have you understood everything so far? I can talk slower if you want, but it's lovely to be in a church where everybody has an accent. As I said, for Carolyn and I, if somebody had told us 30 years ago that we would lead a ministry that reaches into over 30 different countries around the world, and that we would live in an Irish castle, we would have thought, you've picked the wrong people. But it is amazing what God can do through ordinary people who will give their yes to Jesus. And so one of the things that I would like to share just as we start this morning is, what's the condition of your heart as you've come to church today? Are you expecting anything? Do you want to just leave church the same way as you came in? I hope your heart is anticipating that God is going to speak to you. I believe God is going to speak to people today. And I believe he's going to reignite dreams. Maybe God has placed a dream in your heart and it's years old and you never thought it could really happen. Or maybe you're here thinking, well, I haven't got the gifts and talents of these other people that are involved in ministry. God wants to reignite some dreams this morning. And he maybe wants to establish some dreams and visions in your heart. Whenever we think about the Great Commission, I think sometimes we need to go back to where Jesus started when he called his disciples. We read about that in the Gospels. Jesus was looking for disciples. In Matthew 4, we learn about him choosing his disciples. And we can see the emphasis that Jesus was placing upon those who would follow him. In Matthew chapter 4, it says, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus was establishing this simple principle. And this morning I want you to understand this simple principle. When Jesus calls you to be his follower, he calls you to be fishers of men and women. For Peter and Andrew, it was a simple principle. We see it here in these verses. They were fishermen. And Jesus said, I want to change your priorities. When you come and follow me, your priority becomes fishing for men. Before, your priority was catching fish into a net. Now, as a follower of Jesus, you become fishers of men and women into a kingdom. And that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If we push on down into Matthew 28, we see Jesus' final words to his disciples before he ascended back to heaven. And this is the verses that we want to look at this morning. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. So we are to be fishers of men. I love that we have this partnership with Kyle and Taryn and Fathom Church, because I know the heart of this church. The heart of this church is to be an outreach within this community. Kyle and Taryn were involved in a conference this weekend that's touching the lives of pastors and leaders in a further wider audience. But I believe within this church family, we have a vision to make a difference. And I listened to that as in our introductions this morning before church started. You have a dream, a vision to make an impact in this nation. Is that true? But one of the things that I love about a mission-minded church, that you have a heart to make known the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Global vision. And I think that's something that's very important in every church, that we have a local outreach, a national outreach, and a global outreach. We can be part. There's still billions of people that have never heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in church this morning, it's beautiful that we have this time that we can worship together. It's beautiful that we have this time to express our praise and worship to the Lord. And to a certain extent, it's comfortable. But there's many people that have never heard this message, this story of God's love and how he demonstrated his love for the world. Beautiful in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Many, many people have never heard that message. And God has no plan B. God's plan is that his church, his people, will be his ambassadors to make that story known to the nations. And so we can't help but think if this morning, if this is to be our foundation as a church, as believers, then how do we make disciples? How does we become disciple makers? I believe the book of Acts gives us a lot of instruction and help in how the early church were obedient to what he had called his disciples to do. And so we're going to just look at some verses and some things in the book of Acts. So the end of the Gospels was Jesus given this instruction, given authority to his disciples to go and make disciples. So if we understand that this morning, I have to be honest with you, I could really, Kyle has given me a beautiful introduction this morning. But often whenever I pastored the church back home, our son now is the pastor, but whenever I pastored the church, I told our people, don't base your thoughts of my spiritual life on what you see on a Sunday morning. If you want to know the reality of my Christian experience and my growth in my Christian faith, go and talk to Carolyn. She'll give you a real impression. Or go and talk to Neil and Nicola, our children when they lived with us. Because our words have to be consistent with our actions. There's no point in me standing up here and saying something if I go out and live something completely different and something the opposite of what I'm saying. So for me, it's wonderful to see how the early disciples were obedient to the commission that Jesus gave them. In Acts chapter 4, I love this verse. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When people saw Peter and John, they realized they were unlearned, ordinary men. Some Bible translations look at that and say unlearned and ignorant. And whenever you get to ignorant, I don't like to include my wife in that bracket. But if you're looking at somebody that was just ordinary, I would say you could look at both Carl and I, we came just from working class families. We don't consider ourselves to be anything special. But what we have found in our experience, and that's our testimony, that God can do extraordinary things through ordinary people. All Jesus is waiting for is your yes. Whenever we got married 42 years ago, we received a verse. It said, Proverbs 3 and verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And 42 years ago, we accepted that. And so for all of these years, we have committed our way to the Lord. In all our hopes, our plans, and ambitions, we presented them to the Lord, and we asked for his leading, his guiding, and him to help us. And so that's exciting for me, that whenever Jesus had given this exhortation or this commandment to the disciples, it was the people looking at it, those that were sharing this wonderful message of the kingdom of God, they looked at them and thought these are just ordinary people. They've no special gifts or training, but they were called by God and they were fulfilling the call that God had on their lives. Not superheroes. Just ordinary people. Again, one of the things as a young person, or a younger person, let's say, when I was younger, my mom and dad were church people, so I was brought up in the church, you could almost say. Every time the church doors opened, we were there. But I, looking back, had a weird notion. I thought every time missionaries came to visit our church, that the Great Commission was a calling to a few select people. But as I've grown and as I've developed my faith and I've got a better understanding of the Word of God, I realize that the Great Commission, these words that I've read this morning, that Jesus spoke to his disciples, they're not for a select group of people. These are a commandment for us to obey. They're not an option for us to consider among other options. They're something that we have a responsibility to obey. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, Stephen has just been stoned to death. Saul was there giving approval. And Luke records, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And listen to this, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And verse 4 of Acts chapter 8 says, those who had scattered preached the word wherever they went. That's an interesting story as well, because the people understood that to be followers of Jesus, to be under the authority of being a disciple, they were called to be disciple makers. So if we understand that it's not an option for us to consider, it's something to be obeyed, then every one of us this morning have a responsibility. We are disciples and we have an order to be disciple makers. And that's why it's important for us to, because we read much about Peter and Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. I was going to say Peter and Kyle, but Peter and Paul have much mention in the book of Acts, but it says in these verses, all except the apostles. So we can't take it and say, well, it all depended on the good leaders, because the good leaders actually were the only ones that stayed in Jerusalem. It was the ordinary people that were scattered. And everywhere they went, they shared the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe God wants to touch each one of our hearts this morning. It could be that God wants you to, tomorrow. It could be that tomorrow God wants you to minister hope, help, and healing to someone across your street. Is that possible? There's maybe somebody in Jacksonville. They need to know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because their lives are living in hopelessness and despair. And Jesus Christ is the hope of the nations. Could it be that there's someone here this morning and God has placed a dream in your heart for somewhere else in this nation, that you can be an influence for the kingdom of God? And I'm here to tell you this morning that God can use ordinary people to influence the nations, to bring hope into broken, hurting situations. If we move on to Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 to 21. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. In verse 20, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The church was multiplying. The gospel was spreading. The leaders were still in Jerusalem. But the people that had realized that being a disciple meant being a disciple maker. So as an ordinary person this morning, I can see as we go through these verses in Acts, that there's none of us can be spectators in the kingdom of God. I don't know what your participation in church is, or what your participation is in trying to make an influence for the kingdom of God in your community or in your nation. But I want to encourage you this morning that we all have a responsibility as far as the Great Commission is concerned. It's a call to us all to be disciple makers. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus. He's been based there and he's preaching there for 2 years. Acts 19:10, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. That's amazing. All the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Did Paul preach in all of Asia? No, he stayed in Ephesus preaching the word. And those that heard him preach the word understood
that they had a responsibility to take this message. They received the word. They realized that being a disciple meant being a disciple maker. And so the church multiplied and the gospel continued to spread. We could take many, many, much more time this morning to see how the Great Commission, obedience to the Great Commission, was clearly demonstrated for us in the book of Acts. But as we are met this morning, we have to understand that we, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to be disciple makers. That's God's plan. There's no plan B. And so this morning, as I was encouraged by Pastor Kyle that we would relate this to prayer, and as I bring my time to a close this morning, I want to challenge each one of us with how we pray. If we have received this understanding this morning, maybe it's a fresh revelation to you that this is your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's all together as the body of Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ. We have this responsibility. We have to be creative in ways that we can bring the kingdom message to the world. I hope you, in the video you've seen there, that we have a heart to reach into some of the most difficult, hardest places in the world to be a Christian. I have a young friend that I visited in Knoxville just during this week. And I remember us sitting down around a table and we had a list of all the most difficult places for Christians. I think it's OAM. They have this material on what are the most difficult places to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we had listed the top 10. And we were trying to think of creative ways that we could get the gospel to these difficult places. And I thank God for those dreams and visions. But to this day, there's many of those nations like Iran, Syria, Somalia, Sudan, places that it's very, very difficult for Christians. And it's very, very difficult for you and me to even think about going to those places to preach the gospel. But I just love whenever you say yes to Jesus. Whenever it was lockdown, it's hard to get past a day where you don't have some reference to COVID. We're either post-COVID or pre-COVID. We were in America when COVID hit and we thought we were going to have to stay here. Our flights were cancelled. But anyway, that's another story. But during COVID, our government back in Northern Ireland were looking for families that would open up their homes and open up their hearts to what they were calling unaccompanied minors. Those were children that were arriving into the United Kingdom from a war situation without a parent or guardian. Carolyn and I had been foster parents maybe 30 years ago when we took young people into our home and endeavored to support them and help them through difficult season in their lives. But because life got so busy, drop-in ministries started to grow, we just hadn't time and we had to give up fostering all those years ago. But during lockdown, it was something God placed upon our hearts that we could maybe help in this situation. And so we reapplied to be foster parents, and very quickly we were accepted. And again, we were doing it just as an expression of God's love. But whenever these young people started to arrive in our home, we think to ourselves, we used to sit around a table thinking of how we could ever get to these places. Whenever we left home last week, in our house, we have two young boys from Sudan. We have a young boy and a young girl from Somalia. And we have a young girl from Syria. And they're like our children. God hasn't yet opened up the doors for us to get to those places. But we have the privilege that those places have come to our home. And we can share the love of God. We can let them know that despite the trauma and the difficulties that they faced as children, here somewhere they have been accepted and they've been loved and they've been cared for. While we are here, we got news 2 days ago that two more young boys from Afghanistan have arrived. So when we get home on Tuesday, we're going to include two young boys from Afghanistan in our family for the next season. What a privilege it is to be influencers for the kingdom of God in our home, in our nation, and to the world. And so, as we close this morning, how do we pray for that? How do we pray into the Great Commission? And so there's three things that I want us to challenge us with this morning. As the worship team come back, and in worship we're going to make our response to the Word of God, I believe we have to pray that God will bring willing hearts, willing servants, to be committed to bringing the good news of the gospel to people that have never heard, who are still untouched by the love of God. Can we pray for that this morning? Pray that even within this room, hearts will be touched, that they'll say yes. I have a feeling that there's dreams that God has placed in people's heart that have never yet come to fruition. And God wants to reignite that vision this morning. He wants to reignite that dream that God has put in your heart. So let's pray that God will bring willing servants to say, yes, I want to fulfill my role. I want to be obedient to what Jesus said, that we are called to be disciple makers. There's some other things that we could pray for when we think about the Great Commission. Can we pray for receptive hearts? That the Holy Spirit will go before the words that we speak and prepare hearts to be receptive to the Word of God. As I speak to you this morning, we have our son-in-law David is in Kenya. And this weekend he has the privilege to share the Word of God to the people in a very poor community close to Nairobi. We have another full-time missionary, and today he's in Indonesia. Indonesia being a very much Muslim-influenced nation. And there, Nigel is preaching the Word of God this morning, endeavoring to influence people with the good news message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the 6th of May, we will have a young girl will head to Zambia. You've seen it on the video. We have over 900 children on our program in Zambia, all coming from very vulnerable, poverty-ridden communities. And we have, for 1 week, we have a team that will go in with Amy and will work with those children and will tell them, as we have told them before, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we're called to be disciple makers. Could we pray? And I know it being part of in relationship with Fathom Church, use of mission teams go on as well. So in seeing the fulfillment of the Great Commission, can we make that a point of prayer as well? That God will prepare receptive hearts to receive the Word of God as you are faithful in sending mission teams around the world, or sending your mission teams across your street, that God will prepare receptive hearts to receive the Word of God. And my final challenge to you this morning in praying for the Great Commission is to pray for yourself. Pray, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? There's many scriptures that we could look at this morning to encourage us to pray. Matthew chapter 9, verse 7, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. and Jesus' exhortation, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Paul, writing in Romans, he says, brothers, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is that they might be saved. So as Jesus, pray for laborers for the harvest. Paul praying, this is my heart's desire and it's my prayer to God that we'll see these people come to a knowledge of God and receive salvation. But listen to this one in Isaiah. This is one that's hit my heart many times. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go? That's our challenge this morning. And that's what I want to leave with you. I heard the voice of the Lord saying at Fathom Church on Sunday morning, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go? And if we read Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, it finished in a positive way. Here am I. Send me. Can we have that response this morning as we bring our time to a close, as we in worship make our response to the Word of God? God's Word says, who can I send? Who's available? Who will go to make my glory known among the nations, whether it's taking the message of hope across your street, across your city, across the world? Let our response be this morning, here am I, send me. Amen. God bless you.
Sometimes a sermon leaves you just wanting a little more. If this message has stirred a hunger to go deeper in God's Word and you want to learn more about this teaching and how to practically apply it to your everyday walk, make sure to subscribe to our Fathom Beyond Sunday podcast. There you're going to find some great conversations between Next Steps director Christina Scott, along with Pastor Kyle or another leader or guest speaker. We'll link it in the show notes for you. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus or feel led to recommit your life to Christ, we want to celebrate with you and talk with you about what your next step might be. If you're ready to join a group or a serve team or even to request prayer for all of these things, you can text the keyword Fathom to 97000 anytime and follow the prompts. We love you, we're praying for you, and we hope you tune in again soon.